Finally, Friday is being brought to you this week by Major Spoilers VIP and Patreon members from around the world. You can show your thanks and you can help out Major Spoilers in a big way by becoming a Patreon member today. Get access to a bunch of other stuff and lord it over your friends. Head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. Oh, there we go. Clicking the wrong stuff all the time because that's what I do here. I like this music. This music's okay. How you doing on this Friday, everyone? I hope you're ready to ease into your weekend. If you're someone like the great Nato who's hanging out there in Florida, hopefully you're not getting too wet. Not going to do phone calls today because today, special guest, Ashley Victoria Robinson. Hey, Ashley.
Hey, Stephen. How are you?
What is going on with you this week?
Oh, it's 100,000 degrees in California again, which is just the worst.
It is 72 degrees, which, what is that? Half of that minus 32, it's like, 28 degrees Celsius, is that right?
I don't know. I don't understand how they convert.
Siri, what is 72, hey Siri, what is 72 degrees Fahrenheit in Celsius?
72 degrees 22. Fahrenheit is 22.2
degrees Celsius. 34 Celsius here today.
Yeah, so the way I do it is I double the number, so yeah. 34 would become 68,
yeah,
and then take half of that and add to it, so that'd be another 32, so that would be 100.
Yeah, it's hot.
Yeah, boy, I miss those days. The summer here, we've talked before, has been relatively tame this summer. The oldest did not go to the swimming pool as much as he did last summer.
Aw.
Last summer, we were at least once a week. This time, I think he only went like three or four times. Because it just was barely above 90 most days.
That sounds like an absolute dream.
I guess, yeah. Unless you're a kid during the summertime. Bradley Will is in the chat. He says, hi, Ashley. He says, hello. Nothing big is going on where he's at. Jarmo is pretty much, he says it's 22 degrees, pretty much the same in, I forget, is it Finland or Norway? I forget which one, Jarmo. The Great Nato is there. Like I said, hope you're dodging some hurricanes. All of that hurricane water is flying up to Kansas, and I'm hoping it doesn't rain out the big soccer tournament that we have this weekend.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that won't be any fun if that happens. So we don't have a whole lot of time today, ladies and gentlemen, but this week, I think Ashley's trying to encroach on Matthew's job. We're going to do our own little dueling review of a comic that's coming out in a couple of weeks, October something, I want to say.
Yeah.
And let me see if I can just drag and drop this right here on all of our faces. It's The Umbrella Academy, Woo! Hotel of Oblivion, written by Gerard Way and Gabriel Ba, with art by some pretty awesome peoples. Let's see if I'll put this right in between us. Click on Ashley, spread her out to the side, click on me, spread this. Whoops, can I click on my face? I guess not. There it is. It's locked. Scoot that off to the side. Look at that. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so The Umbrella Academy. What do we know about The Umbrella Academy, Ashley? Are you a fan of this series? Have you read these guys before? I mean, these are some big names in the music and also in the comic book industry now.
Yeah, I've read Umbrella Academy. I will say going in, I'm not a whatever band he's a frontman for. I don't know Gerard Way, except I know that he's a musician. I want to say Death Cab for Cutie, but I'm pretty sure that that's not right. So I didn't
remember
from that perspective. So I'm sorry for everyone that who did and who loves him for that. I'm sure he's great.
My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, I have no idea.
There you go. You'd know their music if you heard it.
I'm sure I would. But I think Gabriel Ba is like cool as all get out, which was the reason that I originally picked it up. I've read the first two volumes.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's interesting that this is now coming out as Black Hammer is coming out, and it's not that they're similar. They're a little aesthetically similar, but when you take that kind of house style that Dark Horse evolved from Hellboy, Umbrella Academy is a good fit there because it's set, I think, in 71, and it posits the idea that this is an alternate history based on the fact that Kennedy never died, which if I was going to be a detractor of the series is like the most obvious jump into an alternate reality ever, either that or the Nazis one.
Yeah.
which is it's fine. There's worse ideas, I guess. And there's a big cosmic event in space. A bunch of women who were not pregnant suddenly fall pregnant. They give birth to you're welcome for the cat in the background.
Cats are wonderful.
Birth to children. Seven of them survive. They're super powered. They're all scooped up by a guy named Monocle. His full name is Hargreaves, and he shepherds them into being a super team. At the end of volume two, they disbanded / killed him.
Yeah.
And this
is pretty intense.
Picks up 30 seconds after that.
I mean, really weird, right? I mean, it really literally,
and that was
we start off with, I mean, it's been a couple of years, where he shows up inside of this hotel and he's checking in and he's like, oh, I guess this is the afterlife, if this is what this is supposed to be. And sure enough, I think these pictures are being shown in out of order range. But he shows up and it's like, oh, yes, we're going to check you in. And all these creepy dudes are around and he's hearing voices inside hotel rooms.
It's very Barton Finky.
Yeah. And oh, yeah, very much like Barton Fink. And suddenly you realize that he is in heck. He is in the HE double hockey sticks place.
Oh man!
And right from that,
funny when I was a kid.
I mean, you literally hit that double page spread of that, and you're like, "Wow, this is really deep." And then that suddenly that cuts away to what's the 7 year old kid's name?
Number five,
who he's going on some kind of a assignment, and then we have the guy with the ape body.
His name is something boy. I'm so sorry, guys.
Simeon Boy? It's been a while since I've read this, too, so please.
They say it in the issue, and then he's traveling with Diego. I can't remember what his name is. I feel so bad.
Yeah, Space Boy is his name.
Space Boy, there
Space
you go,
Boy
yeah.
is his name, yeah.
Yeah.
And so we get some action with him and Diego, and they're doing some stuff in Japan and helping out, and it's really clear from this issue that they are a fractured family.
Yeah, they're a broken superhero team.
And no matter what they do, at least in this first issue, no one is interested in getting back together.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell that there are forces that seem to be conspiring to get them back together.
Yeah, one of which might be their father. It's going to be interesting to see, I think, how he gets folded into the fray. We also don't see everyone.
Right.
In a lot of ways, this reminds me of Dan Slott's Fantastic Four number one. We pay lip service, so we have allusions to all of the characters, but we don't see them coming together as the team that we know and love, if you're familiar with the last two scenes. I think it's interesting that number five is the one who's off on his own.
Yeah.
I would have thought it would have been Vanya. She's like the violin lady who I think is on the cover of volume two. She's my favorite.
Yeah, but she's like all broken and not able to walk, and she's going through rehab and
I'm glad
you know, trying to put her body back together.
Yeah. She's one of the characters that we really just kind of paid lip service to. Obviously they're going to come back together. We know, we've read comics, Steven. We know tropes.
Oh,
yeah.
This is really cool from that standpoint. You start off with the team utterly shattered, which I think is a good place to start, considering the events of the last story.
Yeah.
And now we're some, you know, like you said, 30 seconds later, but we're looking into the future and seeing what these characters are doing, and they're miserable. And they were kind of miserable before when they were together. At least they were super dysfunctional, at least.
Yeah.
But now I think, and I hope, that's what I'm hoping in this book, is that we see that, yes, we may be dysfunctional, but we need each other in order to be family and a team, and we need to come together to save the greater good, whatever that may be.
Yeah, in order to be anything like functioning.
Yeah. Now, what about the art in this book? I was really impressed with it.
Gabriel Ba is one of those artists for me who I think he deserves to be more famous than he is. I think the same thing about Mike Allred. They're both so technically proficient. They have such a strong visual voice. And I just really like Gabriel Ba's style. And there's sort of a school of artists who've come up under him or since he broke, like Jorge Corona's style really reminds me of what Gabriel Ba does. Mm-hmm. I guess it's all the South American guys. Gustavo Duarte also comes to mind.
You know, we were just talking this week with Matthew on the Sandman, The Dreaming with mm-hmm. Bill Quiseveli, who's from Brazil.
Yeah.
And her art is like, bang, I love her art. But this is like super action. It's dynamic. It's got rhythm and pacing and just wow.
Yeah, it's interesting when you read a book, a comic that's not a big two superhero book, but it still has that gravitas and it's still that level of storytelling. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's sometimes what people struggle with telling their own superhero stories.
Yeah.
And Gabriel Ba nails it. I don't have the book pulled up in front of me, and I should, but I don't know if he colors as well or if there's a different colorist on this book, but it's very moody. And even though, kind of like I alluded to earlier, there's not a ton that happens in this issue, you mm-hmm. do feel like you've been imparted a lot of information and you feel what these characters are feeling. And for me, if you're going to give me an absence of story because you're writing for the trade because it's post 2008, then I'm happy with this sort of sensibility of storytelling.
Let's see. It looks, I'm looking here on the inside front cover, and it looks like lettering is done by Nate Picos.
Blambot.
Of Blambot. Yep, that's right. And
shout
the colors
out to all
are
letterers, because it was Letterer Day on September 1st.
Yeah, just the other day. And colors are Nick Filardi, Filardi.
Well, sir, you did a fabulous job.
I'm horrible at pronouncing names, unfortunately. For years, I thought you were Bushley.
I'm sure.
What do you hope happens in this series? What's the thing that you're looking forward to the most in Hotel Oblivion?
I'm looking forward, obviously, to seeing the band get back together because it's the thing that we know is going to happen. Like I mm-hmm. said, I'm always hoping for alternate history stories because they always make a big deal about the event that they spin out of, like whatever, you know, like with Man in the High Castle, like it's a big deal. Nazis won, you know, and then we never sort of circle back to real world history again. So I would love it if in this volume, because it's been some time since the first volume of the book, if maybe we brushed up against some more real world history or we saw how the Umbrella Academy maybe puts into motion something that we're familiar with. I always think that's cool for an alternate history and nobody ever does it.
Yeah.
And then I'm hoping that the characters who are broken, I guess, become unbroken, or it's interesting to me when characters can sort of like Pokemon move on to a next evolution and they do something with them that you never anticipated. So I'm looking forward to how the characters are growing because Umbrella Academy stories are just superhero team stories. You know, we know what's going to happen. So the characters that I'm invested in are the ones that I'm most looking forward to seeing grow. And I mm-hmm. guess I have to say, I'm looking forward to seeing what the hotel turns out to be because right now it seems a very, very much like a waiting room in ye olde purgatory.
That is true too. I'm reading up on some things that have been said before. Apparently in volume 2 in Dallas, Spaceboy had said something to the effect that no one escapes the hotel or no one escapes Hotel Oblivion. And without, you know, we don't want to spoil too much on this because it comes out next month, but there is a definite escape plan that's being formed by several of the characters inside the hotel. And so I'm kind of looking forward to this. Now, I there's a couple of things that I'm a little bit disappointed in this book. Probably the biggest one for me is that this is a book that's almost a decade late.
1,000%. It's been so long since I read Umbrella Academy. I had to go mm-hmm. and refer to the Wikipedia page to be like, oh, right, that's exactly what happened. Which is interesting because you would think that Gerard Way, with his clout, could have gotten this book made.
I wonder if it was not his clout getting the book made, or if it was just he was too busy with the stuff that he's doing for DC and the imprint that he's got going at DC, mm-hmm. if that kept him too busy. I don't know what My Chemical Romance is doing as far as a band, if they're even still together, who knows?
I certainly don't know.
But, you know, this was announced in 2009, It's originally Gerard Way said that this was going to come out in 2010. That never appeared.
Yeah.
Then in 2013, he said again that it was coming out. It wasn't until last year. Last year at the San Diego Comic-Con that Dark Horse said it was going to come out. And then it doesn't arrive until almost a year later. Well, more than a year later for this. And so, man, I'm hoping that this is, we've spent a lot of time thinking, we know what we're going to do. And we've, you know, like Pixar, if it's not, the story's not right, we keep refining it, revising it, and making it better until it's ready to be released into the world. And then it does, and then we have Incredibles 2. And it's a pretty good movie.
So good.
Yeah. So that's probably the biggest thing that I have a problem with, is that it's been a decade. Are people still going to flock to this book when it arrives?
That's tough to say, because having a celebrity work on your book, not even a comic celebrity, like an actual bona fide celebrity, does, your book will enjoy a certain amount of cachet that it wouldn't otherwise. The book will sell, and it will sell based on the power of his name, and it will sell based on the power of My Chemical Romance.
Mm-hmm.
I think, brushing that aside, maybe the more interesting question is, how it's going to review and what people are going to say about it. Because the first two volumes of Umbrella Academy, I think, really surprised people. I don't think many of us expected them to be any good.
Oh, no. I didn't think it was going to be good.
They're good. They're very enjoyable. I owned them for a long time. I've recommended them to people. I've given them as gifts. Like, they're solid comics. But sometimes the big break will kill a series, and sometimes you get to be Mage, and we're all very excited for it to come back.
Right. Now, that's a good example of Mages coming back. The other thing that I think prompted this book to at least get into the completion stage is the fact that there is a television series on the horizon.
Yes. Starring one of the ladies from Hamilton. That's all I know about it.
Yeah. Steve Blackman is the showrunner on this. This will be on Netflix. Netflix announced it in July of 2017. It's set to premiere sometime in 2019. And of course, Gerard Way is serving as
San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah. Gerard Way is serving as an executive producer on this series as well. So I have a feeling that maybe getting back into the spirit of, oh, yeah, we've people have some interest in us doing this TV series. That started the gears grinding. Oh, yeah, I got this Hotel Oblivion thing that I said a decade ago that I wanted to push.
Yeah, probably a business manager being like, yo, you should put out a book.
And depending on how long this is, if this is 6 issues or if this is 12 issues, man, you're going to roll right into
six.
But you go 6 months from now and you're right at the point where that comic book series is ending and you've got a Netflix series ready to launch. And so you've got a lot of people scrambling to get this. Now, over in the chat, Brad Will says, hey, Dark Horse is having a 50% off sale at Comixology through September 10th. So that's in a few more days, 3 more days.
Okay,
and then you can use the sale code. Use the sale code to get Umbrella Academy back issues for cheap. I don't know what the sale code is, but whatever that code is going on from Dark Horse, Brad, it sounds like a thing to do it.
You probably find it on their Twitter.
Oh, I'm sure. So what are some other disappointing elements from the book for you?
That we don't have a sense really of where this book is going to go. You know, you asked me what I was excited about, and that was a tough question because nothing happens in this issue. And I joked earlier that that is something that we sort of suffer from in this trade waiting culture and writing for the trade culture. But I do think it's to the detriment of individual issues. I don't think this is a good jumping on point. It doesn't necessarily have to be, but given the fact that, like you said, it's been a decade since we last saw, or the better part of a decade since we last saw Umbrella Academy, I think you would want this to be a little more user-friendly, because if somebody walks into a store and picks this up, they're going to have no goddamn idea what's going on, who these people are, or why we care. Now, we read a preview. There might be some supplemental material that's included when the book hits shelves. I don't know. But just from a story perspective, we don't really get a sense of what the thrust of the book is. And to steal the term from screenwriting, we should have seen the inciting incident by page 20. And maybe we have, and it's eluded me, and it's more subtle storytelling than I'm expecting, but I don't think so.
So there's two things that I'm curious about. And again, here's a little bit of spoiler, so cover your ears if you don't want to be spoiled, listeners. There's a part having to do with a spaceship, and the spaceship is pointed not up towards space, but pointed down into the Earth, into what could open up to be a portal of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, at the end of the book, we know that Hargreaves is trying to escape Hotel Oblivion.
Yes.
And something is going to conspire to keep them in place. So I think we're getting the setup of, do we go and rescue the old man, or do we, you know, go on our way? But I think it's implied that they're going to go try to break him out.
Yeah.
But somehow they have to get the message that that needs to happen.
Yeah. We'll see. I would have liked to have seen that in maybe in the last couple pages.
Yeah, maybe. I would have liked to, you know, send out a distress signal or something.
Yeah, even that could have been a nice sky beam, you know, because everything's now an energy beam going into or out of the sky.
Yeah. What's the bottom line for you on Umbrella Academy Hotel Oblivion?
Bottom line is, if you like Hotel Oblivion, it's cool. It's a great continuation. Maybe reread the first two. Maybe revisit them. If you're not familiar with it, I think you'll have to skip this and come back to it later after you've done some reading. I enjoyed it because it's a franchise that I enjoy, and sometimes it's nice to not read a big two comic. I would give it like a 3 out of 5 slices of meatloaf.
Okay.
And a lot of that is on the strength of the art, because it is a beautiful book.
Yeah,
how
no, the art is really fantastic. I enjoyed the issue. When I picked this up, I was like, what happened? It seems like the last volume I remember was like maybe a year or two ago. And then I was like, oh, no, I have no idea what's going on. It has literally been too long for me to remember what's going on, to where I was just kind of picking up bits and pieces as I was reading through this and going, oh, right, this happened. Oh, right, this happened. I agree with you that this may be a volume that, yes, if you're a fan of My Chemical Romance, Gerard Way, Gabriel Ba, that you're going to want to buy this book just to support them as fans. If you're buying this as an Umbrella Academy fan, I would definitely say buy this book, because it is the continuation of the story. And more than likely, if you're a fan of Umbrella Academy, you've already read Volume 1 and Volume 2 multiple times. So this will be really nice to just slide in there. If you've never read Umbrella Academy before, you are going to be lost. That's the no two ways about it. You're going to be lost. Unless you like just being dropped in media res, right? Where you're just like, sure. I don't know what's going on. Let me figure it out as things go along. Who are these people? I know no idea what their relationships are to anybody. Then, you know, this is pretty good. Overall, I enjoyed the book. I thought it was solid. I would certainly recommend it to people in the first two categories. But if you've never read Umbrella Academy, as Brad said, go use that Dark Horse code over at Comixology and grab yourself these discounted volumes.
Mm-hmm.
And then next month, when Hotel Oblivion rolls in, you'll be able to pick it up and you'll be able to follow along. And maybe for you, that'll make it a better transition.
I definitely
But for me,
so.
It was confusing. It was confusing for me. I think this worked out pretty good today. Thank you, Ashley, for being here with me.
Thank you for having me.
One of the weird things is, now that the boy is in middle school, he gets off at 3 o'clock. This is why we had to move it to 4, because literally it was like quarter till and I'm like still trying to push buttons and get things set up by the time I roll in.
Yeah.
And so I think this works out in this better format and a little bit nicer. Real quickly, let's jump over into the host with comments. There we go. Well, what do we got here? We have Jarmo is saying, oh, I never understood why U.S. Hates the metric system. It has to be because they disdain the number 10 in their measurements.
No, Nate it's says because that the U.S.'s entire identity is based on that they're unique.
Oh, is that what it is? I don't know. I remember when I was a kid.
Number of things in America that America only does things just to be different and contrarian to everyone.
Probably. I would not put it past us to be that way. I do remember as a kid, we were all learning base 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was part of the new math. Any day now, we were going to switch over to metric, and everybody was gearing up for metric. So I remember, like, in third and fourth grade, it was all dive into metric, understand metric. And it's like, well, it's 10. It's easy. It's already our base number system. But we were learning to measure in the metric system and meters instead of yards and all this stuff. And our races that we would run in middle school were all, you know, 800 yards or, you know, 880 for the yards, 800 meters for the, you know, for the in the metric system. And then for whatever reason, boom, it just all went away overnight. And I just couldn't understand that.
And I think most design is still done in metric just because the units of measurement are so much smaller.
Yeah. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. Bill Schweigert shows up. He's talking, Nate's asking him about any new books that he's working on or the new book that he's working on. The agent is trying to sell it, he says. Jess shows up. Don't worry about showing up late, Jess. At least you are here. And Nate also says, Ashley, I am so excited and I cannot wait for science.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm terrified.
So tell us really quick what science is.
By the way, if you're on our new Jawin mailing list, we sent out an exclusive sneak peek. So,
sweet. I have seen the cover art. I've seen the cover art for this.
Yes. Science is the 80-page original graphic novel that Jason Inman and I are going to be kickstarting on Wednesday, the 12th. I'm so terrified. the cover is by Becca Farrow, who's done a bunch of cool cover art for the WWE and Gem and the Holograms cover. And it's going to be published by Eisner-nominated nice Canadian ladies over at Bedside Press. And it's kind of like, what if Harry Potter went to Star Trek school but wanted to destroy it from the inside?
Oh, and man, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, stars a 14-year-old Indian-American girl who's smarter than all of us. So Jason and I have had to become very smart in order to write it. Follow us on Twitter and follow Major Spoilers because we're going to be talking a lot about it there.
Yep.
And please buy it. It's the only place you'll ever be able to buy it. It's not going to a traditional publisher. It might not ever be in comic shops. So,
Maybe get it on the digitals, on the Comixologies.
Maybe, hopefully. So
what's the goal that you're trying to hit?
That's a great question that I don't know the answer to.
Okay, great. Well, we will, you know, so here's the thing. Jason is at work right now.
Yeah, he has fancy TV people now.
Yes, he does. But here, the plan is next week on the Major Spoilers podcast, on the eve of the launch, Jason and Ashley are going to come on the Major Spoilers podcast. We're going to talk all about science. We're going to talk all about the goals that you're trying to hit. We're really going to try to encourage people to go out and check it out. If you liked Jupiter Jett, and I know so many of you did, then here's another book from two great creators, and we're going to look forward to that. So get on that list and don't wait.
Yes.
All right. Ashley, thank you so much. Where can people follow you on the Twitters?
Oh, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Ashley V. Robinson. The V is very important. If you live in Los Angeles, come to Theater West every weekend till the end of September and see The Man Who Saved Everything. I'm starring in it. I'll give you a comp ticket. Listen to Geek History Lesson and listen to the Major Spoilers podcast. You can get both of those in the Major Spoilers podcast feed. And I'm
yeah,
on
Ashley knows how to sell things. Way to go, Ashley. And don't forget our Patreon over at patreon.com/Major Spoilers. Every little bit helps. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Next week, we should still be in plans to do Finally Friday. We'll see how everything rolls out. Hey, Carl. Carl's first time. First time checking in on Finally Friday. Of course, we've known I've known Carl since college. So it's good to see Carl pop into the chat right there at the end. We'll get to your phone calls and a whole lot more. I'm changing a whole bunch of stuff back here. It's messy. I'm changing it all up. We'll see how things go in the future. But until next time, stay classy, everybody. Don't be mean to one another. Love one another. And we'll all get together next time when it's Finally Friday.